Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Muscle and the Hustle podcast. We are live from San Francisco.
Is this the latest we've ever recorded? Well, for me in Ireland.
Yeah, for anybody that wants to know, what is it, 1 a.m. with you?
Half 12, yeah.
Yeah, and it's half 4 p.m. with me on Sunday, so I think that's fucking weird as fuck. It's sun is shining outside here like it's fucking
Oh,
belter.
I seen you put up the. Is it there maybe you're staying in or just the apartment you booked?
Yeah, so interesting story. So me and Dorgan obviously thought I thought we had accommodation till the Monday. Turns out we just had a week. So then we came around to Friday there, and I was like, right, we'll need to figure out. And he was like, yeah. And I goes, check what time's check out at. And he's like, fuck, man, we're out tomorrow. And I was like, all right, fuck. And we were like, right, well, look around the area. But Texas has got the eclipse this week. So it's like this first time. It's the first time in like 50 years. It's gonna be like a full 4 to 5 minute eclipse. And like Texas in the world is like the place you see it most.
Yeah, fucked.
Apparently, so everything is booked. Like people are flying in from all over to see this.
Jesus.
So we were looking around. It was ex not that it was extortion, but we were gonna have to move to like a different side of Austin, and it would have just been a siege for like a couple of days. So then I put it up, and then actually I'd messaged Marcus Philly about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, because he followed me, and I messaged him being like, when a fucking OG follows you,
Yeah.
it's a big day for for me, and just as a laugh. And he messaged me and was like, you should come out to San Fran. We're just having t back and forth chatting about content, and then I put up being like, where will I go? And he messaged me being like, I'm at home this week. He was like, you should come out to San Fran if you've never been. And I was like, do you know what? I was like, fuck it. I was like, you're first person in there. I was like, yeah, straight away. And I was like, I'd love to meet him. So we just literally flew out. He picked the Airbnb, he told us where to go, where to rent. He lined up everything, so then we just had to sort of hit play, Joe, and plug and play
Yeah,
on the Butte thing,
class.
because you're getting a local, so you're getting somewhere
Yeah.
that is. We're in San Rafael, which is just on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge, which is like it's not downtown. Like I can see it from here, and flying
You
on
don't
this
want to be
plane.
downtown anyway.
Yeah, you don't want to be downtown anywhere. You
No.
always want to be where the locals are. So, Joe, we're in Sausalito, which is like a beautiful little place beside San Rafael. It's pure quaint, it's beautiful. But even just having like an Airbnb, do you know where, like, I don't know about you, but if you ever book something, you're like, things can look really good, but when you arrive, they can be so different. The only downside with this one Airbnb is, well, two. One, I have to feed the fish to make sure it doesn't die. And two, there was no cutlery. Like, they took all the cutlery. Like, and
Jesus.
that's not even a spa. Because I was like to Daniel, I was like, dude, I'm being an idiot. Like there's definitely cutlery. Like, I'm just being an idiot.
Did
And
the
we
last people
searched for
steal
it.
it?
No, so that she lives here, like she properly actually lives here,
Oh,
so
yeah.
she's locked it. So she's locked it because she's maybe just a little bit fussy with that, which is fair enough. Joe, you know, like fair enough. But
Yeah.
I thought she would have left spoons
Or
or something
plastic.
for us. I take my power this morning, like 5:30 before I go train. I was like, right, well, I'm just gonna have to drink this now. Like, so then I was fucking he we're fucking using. I was using, you know, the ladle, like a ladle, like that was there. I was fucking eating my power this morning with a ladle, fucking 5 in the morning. But absolutely, like that's such a first world problem. But it's been, yeah, like I'm gonna be honest, San Fran, for anybody that's never considered going, I never, ever, ever would have considered going here. I don't know, it just wasn't something that was on my list. And I'm gonna be honest, I've been to LA, I've been to Texas, San Fran, and I've been to like all the East Coast. I think San Fran or Hawaii is probably top two for me so far.
Yeah, well, where would I compare to Austin or Texas for you?
Really enjoyed Austin, don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed it. And like I there's just something about, like, I know it's windier here, and people will say, like, oh, Joe, California and all this. I don't know about living, but for an actual trip, I just
Yeah.
feel like there's something about the sea and the Golden Gate Bridge. It's very nostalgia. Like
Yeah,
it's very
yeah.
like surreal. Do you know what I mean? And the hill, see the hills, like the Mrs. Doubtfire Hill. Like, I know it's very touristy, and people be like, oh, I'm very into that. Like, see, for me, I'm like, oh, this is fucking sick. Like,
Yeah.
I'm like that. Whereas
But it's good to see the
others
stuff
probably
from the
aren't.
movies. Like, you know, it's like when you go to like the toy shop from Home Alone and you see the things that you've grown up watching on TV. And even when you see Times Square for the first time, it's like, oh, that's the place in the movies.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
It's nice there is this nostalgia thing. It seems like when you showed Alcatraz earlier, that's a thing that I would
oh,
love to go to.
Wipeout.
I would love to go to Alcatraz, like.
Yeah, whereas like I've never really, but I like, you know what it is, and for me, I'm just like, it's so surreal. Like,
Yeah.
Daniel's a big fan of it. Whereas Like for me, I've always been like, I love Mrs. Doubtfire, and I was like, it's so nostalgic. It's just so. It's not even like you have to go see it. It's just like this is. It's so different, and even whenever I go anywhere, like I love absolutely everywhere. Like don't get me wrong, I love Texas, love the hats, I love the fucking about, I love the so. But I don't know. I don't know where it's the fact we just put more. We probably put a bit more money into here as well, and it'd probably be dear to live here and stuff as well long term. But just in general as a trip, I definitely. It's somewhere that's never been on my list, and I'd really recommend it just from a perspective of just it's a beautiful place. Apart from that, states are good.
So
Marcus.
tell us about the Marcus Filley connection, because like as when you said to me about Marcus Filley earlier, I was like, oh, like I followed Marcus Filley fucking loads because
Years ago.
I like that hybrid training thing that he does. But when I
Yeah,
said to you,
he was a very big CrossFit athlete.
he was massive CrossFit athlete, and then he was the first kind of, I would say he kind of created the hybrid model of like bodybuilding. Stroke functional
Functional
body,
bodybuilding
functional
calls it,
bodybuild eye,
yeah.
and I think his company is a Persist. Am I right in that?
Persist,
Persist, yeah.
yeah.
So I bought one of his programs years ago, and his training style is classic. It's fucking deadly. But
Very different,
when
very
I
different.
said to you, I made the joke earlier, biceps and burpees, because it's not a million miles
Oh,
away from
mate.
that. But how did
Yeah,
you done a session with him earlier? Did you?
Nah, so like I messaged him last night, and he was like, "Look, do you know what? The hospitality shown has been incredible." Like he turned around to me, I've only rocked to be organized everything, and he was like, I was like to him, yeah." He was like, "Do you need recommendations?" I was like, "Yeah, just recommendations for like the best bodybuilding gym and like roughly where to be at." And he was like, "Just here's the code for the gym. You do this, you just work away whatever time you want. It's 24/7 for you. Here's the keypads. Here's this." And I was like, "Fuck, you've never even met me. We've had like a small." And the fact that you're just letting me rip into this massive facility that's private, like it's not even an open gym, it's private,
Yeah.
like it's where he films and stuff. And so, but he said he was doing a workout in the morning. I was like, right, sweet, sure, I'll do it. And then he goes, no, it's gonna be like CrossFit cardio based, like more cardio. And I was like, nah, not a mission. I was out of breath up the hill this morning. So we're gonna hit a session during the week, which will be interesting
You
to
gotta follow
definitely
it.
see. I don't know what way I'll work. I'll probably film it for like IG rather than like a YouTube.
YouTube,
I feel
yeah.
like. Yeah, I don't know. YouTube's good. Don't get me wrong. He's the videographer and all there, so we'll see. We're gonna do some reels and some collabs and have a bit of crack because he's good value, he's good fun, he's good energy. And for me, it's nice because a lot of the stuff he's been through is similar to me. Like he's put a lot of his self-worth in his body, his performance, and
Yeah.
he's went more the other way now. Like he's more into like feeling good, looking good, trying to get the right balance and make sure that everything's in line. And he's had issues with his mental health like I have, and it's nice to see that even with somebody who's got a family and more settled, and it's very relatable stuff. But for me, it's one of these things where, as you said, it's a very surreal moment for me because I would consider him like very big fish, like because like like whenever he followed me, I knew exactly who he was. Like I
Yeah.
knew because I was like, you are. I think he came top 20 or something in CrossFit Games in like 2014. So like we're talking here, that's like when CrossFit was really starting to come on the map, like 2012, 2013. That is when it fucking started booming, like properly, in my opinion.
Yeah, well,
Maybe I'm wrong.
he is like, he is one of the OG kind of, would be
Cross,
like
yeah, and
the
the
CrossFitters.
workouts and all. Oh, the shape was insane back then, like absolutely nuts. And the workouts are like the ones he does, like even. But what I enjoy is the fact that it's like as much as he says functional bodybuilding, it's not like he said no. Like he's got a quad extension in his gym. He's got a leg press. It's not just squat your life away. And like even when I was talking today, he was talking about bad piece of equipment. It's nice to see, like, even for me, like, I understand why people squat, why people deadlift, why people do things. It's the same as, like, if somebody DJs a certain way for you, Mickey, or another
Yeah.
way, there's 100 ways to skin a cat, and it just depends, one, what you enjoy, two, what works for you, three, how you've been taught, and four, can you do it, like, long term and still love it. And I think a lot of people get attached to an identity, and I think that's the issue with, like, a lot of fitness, a lot of even career paths. Like, I
Yeah.
got attached to the identity of a firefighter for like a long, long time period. And like, I really struggled to let that go. And then, Joe, I got attached to being the identity of a coach for a really long time period. And I still am. But like, you struggle to move through, like, all right, I'm going to be a mentor now. I'm going to be even a father. And then, you
Yeah.
get, I'm not saying anybody's not a father, but like, you can end up being in that mode and only that mode. And we put ourselves in these boxes. Like, a really good example of this is I always said to my mum, me, her talked about it. I goes, what was the transition like from wife to mother? Because I was like, a lot of people, I think, struggle to switch back to wife. And I'm not saying that in a really sexist way, but I feel like you would
Yeah.
struggle to do that as a dad too, because obviously mother probably comes first or dad comes first, but it's like, How do you flick from that mode back into like wife or husband and turn from wiping fucking boogers and ass cheeks and shit to like, right, we're gonna have sex now? And I think that's where like you get caught in that identity shift. And even for bodybuilding, like I've been caught in that where like I'm like, I need to be constantly getting bigger, I need to be getting stronger, I need to be getting leaner, I need a bit more Instagram. And it's like trying to detach your identity from something where it is part of you, but it's not all of you. And I think that is so tricky because your self-worth can be underpinned in that. It's like, do you know when a parent loses a child? I'm not saying this about, but like, where do you go, whatever that is, your purpose? And it has been. I think that's the same transition that a lot of people get when they lose their identity in a sport or their look. I'm not saying it's obviously completely different because a child loss is, but you get the point I'm coming at. Like when you lose that purpose, that shift.
I went through it over lockdown. With like, my identity is by and large a DJ, and a lot of people would only know me as a DJ, and they don't know like the other things
Sorry, yeah.
I do in life. So it's just the DJ. Like I'm just literally back from doing Throne Ladies event, and that like all that's the DJ. Like even when I was walking through, it was like that like most of them didn't know my name, but they were like, that's the DJ, because I recognize that face from standing in a certain place. But like when lockdown happened and I had no income, and I started to like do other jobs. Like one of the jobs, I was helping a friend who owns Slim's Kitchen, and it was freshly prepped the meals, and I was like delivering them out to CrossFit gyms for him. And just driving a van about and just delivering them out 2 days a week. Just real casual, just helping a mate out, earning some extra pounds. And there was one of the time I was good out go to into the leave it off on the premises. And I got speaking to a few boys who were training, and I kind of was half embarrassed that I was doing another job. And I remember it really triggered me, and I was like, why the fuck are you getting embarrassed here? This is what you have to do. This is what, but I was just so attached to the fact that I'm a DJ, I shouldn't be doing this. And I actually annoyed myself more by putting myself into that scenario of going like, I should not be doing this, I'm a fucking DJ. And it almost as if I got it in my own head that it was an embarrassment because I had to take on work. And then I realized that I'd attached everything of my own self-worth and my own self-being of being a DJ and being a good DJ. Whereas,
I think that's
and then it was like,
like
there's
going
more to
to
Pete, like there's more to Tony than his online. Like if you kind of watch one, if you watch one Tony's videos, you might go, fuck, that man's a madman. No, if you watch one video, but then when you watch more, you start painting a better picture, and you see more. But like there's more, probably every people that's even listened to this, maybe like some, there could be a doctor, and that could be their whole being, their whole personality is being a doctor, or they're a teacher. But there's more to every, like there's layers to every person. And I think
Yeah, I think.
when I struggle, when I retire from DJ and I stop DJ, I think that'll be something that I will struggle with. I think I will.
Do you think the I want to ask you this mid flow. I'm not interrupting you. I want to probe you. Do you think it's ego slightly? Like I think every man has that. But what do you think?
Oh,
I think for me it
100%,
would be.
100% ego. I think
It
it's
takes
more ego,
balls to
but
admit that.
oh yeah, but it's ego because in a good way and a bad way, it's ego because I know the amount of work I've put in to get to this place, but also I would never let ego stand in the way of grinding and working hard for something. Like I'll never take anything for granted and go, I deserve that because I did X, Y, and Z in the past. Like I would never be like that, but there's definitely a level of ego of going. But then I think in my industry and like the music industry, where like even though we're not like we are a wee bit of divas at times, like and like anybody that says they're not, they're a fucking liar. It's just the industry we're in. It's the arts in a way. There's your you are ego driven, and there like I'll even say it now. Like there'd be times if like someone released artwork and my name wasn't on top, I would have said to them, here, you need to change that and put my name on top because I'm the headline act. And you feel like a dick doing it, but that's and it's that's it's well, it's a wee bit ego, but it's more just like that's just the hard work that you went through to get to where you are needs to be sort of respected, and it needs to be acknowledged. And that's just it's
Yeah, well, that's fair enough.
But there is always a wee bit of ego. But I would have a bit of an ego when it comes to the DJing, but it's not like it wouldn't be a negative ego. It would just be I know my worth, I know my self-worth, and I like the people acknowledge that. And if people don't acknowledge it, I don't get annoyed, but I'm just kind of like, okay, cool, I've a wee bit to go yet. But if someone completely like disregarded altogether, that would probably annoy me. I've only ever come across it once or twice that somebody completely
Ryan
disregarded.
Holiday's book on that's good. Have you read it? Ego is the Enemy. Have
No.
you read that? No.
No. What is it, Ryan Holiday?
Ego is the Enemy. Yeah, one of my friends has the tattoo of it. I actually think a little bit, like everything, I believe it just depends how much of it. Like, it's like
Yeah.
a little bit is good because it's going to keep you pushing, keep you in check, drive you forward. But you do also, as you said, they're like your self-awareness definitely helped. Whereas I feel like a lot that will obviously hold a lot of people back. And I've seen a whole me back as well. Like, I really didn't want to give up firefighting because how it made people view me rather than knowing it was, you're seen as this. And like, to be honest, I noticed I got loads of female attention with it. That drives you, that's ego. But it's such a ball and chain, the ego, whenever you break it down, because like you get attached to that identity, as you say, like the DJ, and then your self-worth is underpinning it. So then if that goes, it's like if I lost my body right now, like I lost the shape, went back to square one. It's re-channeling that and realizing, like, right, well, it's not the shape, it's the discipline, it's the attributes, it's the character traits. They're actually what's the most important thing, and that builds me. But the problem is when you put so much emphasis on that, and in today's world, it probably does, because like if your money is seen as like status, following is seen as status, shape is seen as status, the woman or the man you're with or your friend group is seen as status. Like if you lose all that and your self-worth is underpinned by it, that's the issue. And that's probably why a lot of people get like quarter life, midlife crisis, is because like if you're completely underpinned on one role or one facet. And that's why it's very important, in my opinion, like as you said, to be multidimensional and like make sure that you're just branching out a little bit for yourself so that you've got multiple sort of purposes or you've got multiple lines there. Because I do feel like with the ego thing, it's one of the things where I've been caught in that, where like your one goal or your one driving force is there, and then it can go very easily, or something can happen, or you can just realize that's not right for you anymore, and it can shift, and that in itself can be like a cage, what you realize. And I think a lot of people are afraid to sometimes, and I think this was the same for me. I almost had to take a step back to go 10 forward, but the step back is so difficult. And a really good example is this. I had a client, I'm not gonna say the type of car he drove. He was about 22 and he drove a really nice car, like a really nice car. It was nicer than what I was driving. And I remember talking to him about, like, he was coach, he was talking about during the mentorship, and he's like, Joe, that's probably a bit out of my budget. And I was like, I'm not praying, but is your car more than that a month? And he goes, yeah. And I was like, would you not rather, I'm not saying do it, would you not rather take a lower payment in the car or sell your car now for whatever it's worth, buy a car outright, and then use them monthly payments to then reinvest in yourself and then make more money in the long run? This is me selling you. It's just me asking that question. And he was like, oh man, like I couldn't do it. And I was like, why though? And he was I couldn't be like, and I was like, because you couldn't be seeing the shitter car because it looks like you're going backwards. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, the problem is though, that will keep you in chains. That's so difficult. And a really good example is like, I haven't said the exact amount, but a lot of people, I questioned myself when I got the Raptor. So I got the big Ford Range Raptor, brand new. Always wanted it. It was like a dream car for me. So I got it. And about a year after getting it, I was starting to question, like, was I underpinning too much self-worth in this? Did I get it for the right reasons? Like, was it my dream car? Was it not? So I just went, right, fuck it, I'm gonna get rid of this. And I bought it for 49,000, and I sold it actually for 44, which is really good about a year later, especially for a brand new car, right? And my thought process was, I'm gonna sell it and see how I feel. And if I feel all right, I'll buy a different one back. But I actually sold it right. And with the money, what I done was I put down a deposit in an apartment, the 20 grand, and the Audi outright for 23, but I actually put down 10 on the Audi, so I had finance or whatever it was. But the funniest thing is that apartment that I put the deposit on, the profit from that will now pay for a similar shaped Audi car for me for the rest of my life. Now, is that as nice as maybe a Raptor? My, it's probably not. It's a car worth half the price. The thing is, I have no stress of paying that. I'm making money every month. That car to me is technically not free because obviously the money, but like it, the finance one's free. So all I do is put down seven. So for me, I'm like, and then whenever that car busts in 20 years or whatever it is, inflation, I'll be able to stick down like another five or six or seven and then get a similar car again or do you add to it. And it's that sort of thing of like to the outside, it looks like I've taken a step backwards because I've got a lower car and it's still lovely. But the car is half the price of value. That's like somebody getting a £20,000 car and going down to £9,000 car. It's quite a big drop in quality, status. Like mine had a license plate and everybody knew it. So, and a lot of people said to my dad, I was like, fuck your Tony sold the truck. He must, is everything all right? And I remember my dad even saying that to me. He was like, people are going to think you're not doing as well now. And I
Yeah,
was like,
remember you said that
I,
to me. You said to me
yeah.
that you thought that people might think that.
And the funniest thing is, like, it doesn't matter what they think. Like, because I was like, fuck, that'll affect my businesses and that'll affect my rep with like this and that. And the thing is, it does. The only thing that matters is that if you know deep down you're doing it for the right reasons, and I did, and it pays off more and more, then you make enough of them decisions and it's short term pain for long term gain. Now, I'm not saying you need to live the most boring life, but sometimes you need to realize, and I said this before, Cara, I went and spoke at County Down Under's workshop the other week, and one of the people asked me about like how to live more. Like a fulfilling life, a more freedom life. And I asked, and they were talking about money and finances and saving. And I was like, how many things do you think are outside your like where you should be living? And I was like, for example, I was like, I'm not saying you should do this, but I was like, first thing people will look at when they them and their husband get a house is like, right, we want a four bedroom detached. We want as nice as you almost overshoot what you need. Like there's like we're all guilty of this. I am too. Like if I was gonna live in a house in Northern Ireland, like whenever I bought my house back home, I bought a three bedroom detached house for one man. Like I could live in a one bedroom apartment for a quarter of the price. And yet the reason I don't know is because I'm like, oh, I deserve that. I deserve nobody's gonna know any different. Once you're living there, it doesn't make any odds. But you end up, and I said this to the woman, I was like, you've probably done what I would have done if I didn't tune in on it. You've probably taken out a car that's slightly like not too nice, but just slightly higher on the fee. Taking out maybe a house that's a little bit bigger. Maybe you've taken out something else, and then all of a sudden I goes. And what you don't realize is you've actually put the shackles and the cuffs on yourself, and you strangle yourself with your freedom. Whereas, if you always spend less than you make, you'll always be wealthy, but you'll always have less stress too. And that's the one thing that I've actually managed to do really well. Even whenever I was in the fire service, like I drove my dad's car for a long time. I drove smaller cars. I didn't take out big loans, big mortgages, nothing fancy. And I'm not saying that you want to live like this, but you also just see that, see not having stress of payments of direct, like big direct debits, like they're commitments, they're tough. And they're what's strangling you. And I was like, she wanted to leave her job. That was the main reason she asked me. And she was like, but I can't because of the financial commitments. And I goes, could you not take a pay cut? And she was like, no, because of, and I was like, because what though? And she was like, I was like, you can take a pay cut. You just aren't willing to sell your car. And I was like, that's the trade-off. And I was like, if you sold your car and took a shitter car, would that allow you? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, so you need to ask yourself, are you working a job you hate to pay for a car so you look like you're successful when deep down you're not? And it was like, you could see the penny drop, and it was sort of like a fuck moment. And I was like, that's easy for me to say. That's tough for you to do emotionally, physically. And I've been there. And it's asking yourself, where am I keeping up with the Joneses just to keep up appearances? And I think we all fall in that trap. Like I am too. I think everybody does.
Well, actually, it's just this is a good thing. One of the questions we got in for this week's podcast is there something to be said to live a more minimal lifestyle? Mickey spoke about it briefly a few months ago, and I looked into it, and I'm liking what I'm seeing. Do any of you boys think it's something you'd ever implement? I
Oh my God,
think
absolutely.
you live pretty minimal.
It's funny because, like, obviously, I'm in San Fran in this Airbnb, so it sounds very hypocritical. But, like, back home, in terms of like income versus what I spend, is like I live with Joseph, like, he's my videographer, and he was like, he would have a good idea, roughly, of numbers and stuff, of the apps and stuff. And in two, on a day-to-day basis, is very, it's very just routine and basic. The height of my spending is going out for like a meal. Like it's it that's it. Like and
But
try now
you don't
traveling.
have a lot of like goods. Like you don't splurge on a lot of things that you don't need.
No, I think the deer's pivot cloven. dearest piece of clothing I had for a long time was a pair, was a watch that got bought for me and a pair of slides that got bought for me because they were real. Everything else I had was pretty fake, and they're like, there's nothing there that I'm like the gym, like I'm wearing a Gymshark vest right now that's like beige. This was like I think this was like £15. The shorts are for £15. My socks are from Primark, which are
Yeah.
like 50p. So the dearest piece of clothing on me is probably my boxers, Ralph, and they're like £15 a pop. But like, I would live like pretty minimal. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't. It's hard to call. Like, I wear just plain black tees. But like, yeah, in terms of like spending money on like things don't really do it for me. Like material objects, they go for me pretty fast. Like a Rolex wouldn't do me any
Nah.
good, like at all. Like it just doesn't. I understand why some people love it and the fact they can increase price, but like even a really nice car, like I would get that. I think I would get some joy out of that and I would love that. But I'm like, the majority of material objects I don't think would help me. And see, the for me it's the not the see this no stress. Like for me,
Yeah.
I have no real direct debits, like at all, apart from business ones. I think I've got my phone and maybe Amazon Prime and Spotify. And like, the lower you keep your overheads, the less stress you are. And there's a lot said for that because it gives you flexibility, it gives you whatever you need. But I think, as you said, like I the outside, you probably don't think I live a very minimalistic life because where I'm traveling. But if I wasn't traveling and I'm at home, like I'm very low maintenance. Like I'm very
Yeah.
just like, I'm happy doing my own wee thing and just chilling out. Whereas like I think you can shoot yourself in the foot by just not doing that. But it's just paying attention to it.
Yeah, it's something
No
I
right or
like.
wrong.
Something I thought about myself a lot. But I would have. I have a, when notice when like when I moved down home to take care of my dad, like the sheer amount of clothing I had was almost borderline embarrassing. And that's when it really
And you
hit
never
home.
wear any of it. I've been like
Never
that.
wearing it.
I've
Like
been like that.
I'm looking at stuff now, and I can see labels on clothing. And I'm like, I don't know when I bought that thing because I haven't bought clothes in a while. So that's sitting with a label on still from probably a couple of months ago. And it just goes to show that I actually didn't need that thing. I don't even know what it is because it's folded up, but I can just see a label. But it is definitely something I've started to pack up a lot of clothes to give to the charity shops again. I'm talking like even when I was bringing in clothes the last time to the charity shop was. That was like the start of December. I brought in six bin bags full of clothes. And that's probably from the last 3 or 4 years. And not probably 5 years. And that was a wee bit embarrassing because that didn't even make a dent in the clothes that I have. And then
Yeah, see
now
I'd be
I'm
like
going to do
that.
it again. So that there's the more like when you look at stuff about like you know what this is an extreme. Like Steve Jobs wore the same clothes all the time. And I think that's an extreme in his case, but he's onto something there. No, he's onto something. He's not right and he's not wrong, but he's onto something there. There is something to be said to how many pairs of jeans do you actually need? How many t-shirts do you actually need? How many hoodies do you actually need? How many coats do you actually need? How many pairs of trainers? I'm looking at my trainers here. There's one, two, three, four, three pairs of Dunks. There's two pairs of Air Force Ones, pair of Reebok there, a pair of Dior trainers there. There's a pair of On Clouds there. And that's not even a quarter of my trainers in this bedroom alone that I'm looking at now. And I love trainers and they do bring me a lot of joy, but I do not need them trainers. Like I really and truthfully don't need them, but I love them. And I think I'm at a point now where I'm starting to say to myself, I would love to experiment a wee bit with the minimal stuff and actually almost go back to basic and get rid of almost everything. Keep some of the stuff I like, but get rid of almost all my clothing that I don't need and use. And start again and just go. And if it doesn't work out, you know what? I'll just go out and buy new clothes. But start again and go, you know what? Because I do find that I wear the same t-shirt most of the time, same t-shirt like on rotation, same hoodies on rotation. The gym wise, I have the same like five or six different gym t-shirts, three probably pairs of shorts, that I just keep moving around. So it is something I'm going to look at and implement. And I think it comes with age too, maybe.
Yeah, it does. That's what I was just about to say. You'd
Like you
be able
don't
to,
get a
I think.
buzz from buying something dear anymore.
No, and I think it's because your self-worth and your wisdom as you age, you just get smarter and more tuned in, and there's your beauty of age and beauty of wisdom. But I think, like, have you ever noticed, like, I'm guilty of it now. So, like, minimalism, this is where, like, my sister called me and she was like, I dressed up and she, like, to go out for dinner with them the last week, and she was like, we were just chatting, and she we were just chatting back and forth, and we were talking about people spent money and stuff, and she was like, sure, you just were like, sure, she did a lot of my ordering for me now, like, clothes wise whenever I go away. And she's like, it sounds like that would be a nightmare picking clothes, but she's like, if you're going out at night, she goes, you're wearing a black tee or a black tee. She's like, it's the easiest thing ever to order. She was like, it's just the one make from the one company in Zara, and she's like, that's all it is. And she's like, it's so handy for me. I just go, do you have enough clothes for going out now? If you say no, you don't need to tell me the color. She's like, I know what jeans you wear. I know you're wearing black boots, and you're either wearing like some simple zip up jacket, you're wearing a black leather jacket or a normal jacket or not. And she's like, that's your night out here. And like, see, when I pack, like, I pack three or four black tees, a pair of black, a pair of blue jeans, and my boots, and that's my night outfit's done. And then all I need is a change of rotation of tops for the gym. And see, if I wasn't on Instagram colors, like, if it don't get me wrong, I wear a lot of black tees, like a lot of black vests, but like, I have colored ones, but the only reason I have them is just because it makes the reels look different. I was like, if I could have everything just black, I'm just like that. It's just easy.
Even Jim.
Mate, I wear black Gymshark vests whenever. You'll notice I wear black Gymshark vests and black vests whenever I'm not doing a lot of reels. Like, whenever I'm just filming or training, you'll be like, he's wearing the same camo Gymshark stuff, the same black stuff. But whereas, like, whenever I'm on thing constantly, and the reason I do that is because a lot of people won't actually give you. Like, you know yourself, you wear like a bright green t-shirt or something, like, you're like, fuck, I can't wear that top again. Whereas black, you rotate through. And for me, it's just like they're cheap, they're effective. And see, if I like spill something in black, it's easy. But a lot of my wardrobe is like literally just black. It used to be such a mix, but I gave loads of it away. And maybe that's not the most fashionable thing, but there's a lot said for like decision fatigue and stress, and people will be worried about what they're wearing out. I'm like, I look solid in this, comfortable in it, it does all. I said, and like, it's funny because I just find that, like, you don't remember what you wore last week, but even in photos, I'm just like, oh, as long as there's a bit of a mix, I'm happy out. Like, don't get me wrong, there's fashion, and I think I'm all for that. And there is like buying a nice jacket and dressing up, but it's like there's also a beauty and simplicity with that sort of thing. And it's the same, you go, like, just see the less stress, the less decisions. For me, that's what life's all about, trying to live like as low stress as possible in as many areas. And maybe that's not the right way. Maybe if you enjoy your clothing, it's different. But like, anytime I wear fucking something really nice and white and it's fresh as fuck, I end up spilling something on it and being like, oh, for fuck's sake.
There's nothing as bad in a white shirt and you're
Man, oh,
on the
shite.
way to the date or on the way to going out and you have to get fuel and you're like, I'm fucking shitting myself here in case I get
Yeah,
fuel in my
man.
hands and then rub it in my shirt and then you look like a fucking clown. But
Pro tip, always wear like what I do. I always wear the tee, the jeans, everything down, and I just have it hanging in the back. If I'm ever
well, I
doing a
would do that a
speaking
lot.
gig or anything.
I do that for weddings.
Yeah, exactly. It's smart because the funniest thing is too, I usually have a black tee in the back. It's usually me changing from one black tee
To
into
another.
another.
Well, I'm
Yeah,
wearing a
I'm
black
waiting to
tee
change
now
to another.
because I always DJ in a black tee 99% of the time. But no, definitely the minimalistic approach. It's something I'm definitely going to go into. As Tony said, this
Interesting.
choice or choice fatigue or whatever is it's something that's I've been struggling with lately because I'm kind of out of my normal routine and been back home. So like, you know, it's just not, I'm not in the same banger routine where my clothes were where they were, my wardrobes and different stuff. So at the moment, I'm like, when I get up, I'm just like, oh, fuck, what am I going to wear today? And I don't want to have
Plan, yeah,
that.
I was gonna say plan out the night before. For me, I do all my easy decisions. See, all my decisions that like just take a little bit of brain power, because you only can make so many decisions a day. I don't care what anyone says. And for me, waking up and wasting energy, like, I actually wake up and you'd swear somebody like invisibly manned somebody dead my floor, because I have like the socks, the boxers, which is funny because I put on my socks first, then the shorts, then my vest, then my t-shirt. And the thing is, like, I know when I'm getting out of bed. Like, there's no like, oh, what am I, where's this? Or it's like, I know where it's lined out on the floor beside me, which most people be like, what the fuck? But it's just there. And it's usually on the floor, which is funny because it's like it looks like somebody spaced it out, but it's just ease, and then I can roll into whatever I'm doing. But like I'm not as big into the morning routines and all as it was. Like I get up, I do that, I'll do something that calms my mind, maybe breathe, maybe a shower, maybe get cold water, get a cup of decaf, and then I'll get stuck in. It's not major, but it's like just that small bit. But that waking up and never snooze, like even I know this is going off on tangent, but like
Yeah.
if I can say one thing that'll change your life, and I notice it all the time, is if you start your day in a rush and you start by hitting the snooze, one, you've told yourself a loser because you've hit the snooze button, you've lost the first battle of the day. And number two, you're just starting the day rushed because you're
Yeah.
behind. And that 5, 10, 15 minutes late or just off base, it fucking shoots you. And it all starts the night before. Like last night, we got in late enough, and you know the way you struggle to wind down, you're like, oh, I'll just watch something. I was like, no. I'm gonna have a cup of chamomile, no phone, sit there for 5 minutes and go to bed. And I went, and if I didn't, you watch telly, you're up later. Whereas today my energy was electric.
Yeah.
It was on the money. It was best I felt weeks because I was right, I made the right decision. So it's just that baseline. And I think as well, even with the ego stuff we were talking about and the cars and everything, the minimalist, it's because you have a fear of missing out. And the funniest thing is
Yeah.
you never really do miss anything. It's like
No.
I met up with childhood friends there a while back before I went away here because I was like, fuck, I haven't met them in ages at all. Go down to the pub and I was like, fuck, it's coming up to Easter. I'm ripping and missing Easter. And like I said it to them when I met them. I was like, fuck, it's been like a year and a half. And I was like, everything changes, but nothing changes. Like
Yeah.
I was like, it's the same conversations, not in a bad way, not in a good way. It was just like we're all the same people, the same stuff. It's like it's very interesting because you've that fear of missing out and things don't change, but they change. The time moves on. I know that sounds such a weird saying, but I always say everything changes, but nothing changes. Like it's
Yeah.
like if I didn't see my dad for a year, I would feel like I'd miss so much. But then when we have a conversation, it would just be like back to normal. And it's
Yeah.
so intriguing.
But it's like
But
when you
you
like,
are.
yeah.
No, do you know what I mean? Yeah.
When you
Yeah,
put
go.
like people, when people go, right, I'm gonna like nail the next 12 to 16 week training and get ready, you know, that summer bod mode they go into, and then they're like, oh, but I'm gonna miss out on so much fun. And then when they hit the summer, they're like, you know what, I didn't actually miss anything. And I'm where I want to be physically, mentally, and all now because I dedicated that short period of time. But then when you're doing the short period of time, you're getting the crippling. You know, like, oh fuck, the boys are all out tonight. I'm missing that. When really and truthfully, like,
Everything.
you know, there's maybe one or two occasions every few years where you have the best night out or the best trip ever. And that memory might stay with you the rest of your life. But that's just two times or three times out of fucking 3 or 4 years or whatever. You know, and but for them 12 weeks, you could change your life, or you could, you could go into the summer full of confidence, where if you need to take your top off the beach, you can, rather than spend them 12 weeks, and you put other things first, and then when it comes to like going away to on holidays or going down to the pool or the beach or whatever, and you're crippled with anxiety because you didn't put in them kind of weeks of hard work.
100%.
You know, and there is
No,
something to be
fucking
said
bang
of
on
that.
that.
And I you know, everybody's been there. I've had regrets of not, like, you know, getting my shit into gear before going on holidays. And like I'll admit it, I've had regrets doing that. I have regrets all the time of, like, you know, missing training sessions, half arsing training sessions. And then before you know it, you half arsed 6 weeks. But if you wouldn't have half arsed that, you'd been fucking 6 weeks down the line, halfway to your goal.
Oh, 100%,
You know, and
100%.
there's so
That's
many people, those things they got, and then they're like, but it's all about, oh, but you know, the lads are going out and fuck your, you know, you live life to the max and you don't want to miss out. And they go, but like, Man United are playing fucking Liverpool again in a couple of months' time. You're not real, you're
exactly.
not missing that much. No, you're not missing. Like, I didn't go down
It's
to
just
Paul
that
Hughes.
fear.
So I've been training pretty well this last few weeks, haven't been drinking that much running, haven't been going out, been eating okay. I was dying to go down to Paul Hughes' fight. Fair play to Paul. Congratulations. You won again, kid. On Saturday. But I knew if I went to Dublin, I'd want to drink. I love Dublin. Some of my favorite bars in the world are in Dublin. And I just said to myself, you know what? I'm going to take myself out of the equation and not go down. And that is, and it was a tough decision because, you know, there was a good an opportunity for really good seats for Paul. And then I just said, you know what? I'm gonna like just keep myself right and not drink the head of myself in Dublin. So, but
that balance, it's tricky.
it is tricky. But you know what? But after I made the decision, I was quite happy with the decision. But for the couple of hours, I was like, you know what? I'm fucking raging. I'm missing this. I'd love to be a Cage Warriors. I'd love to be at it. And then,
exactly. And then did you?
He annihilated the boy in 70 seconds. And then we're like, well, that was going to be a long fucking journey for 70 seconds of Paul pummeling the head of a boy.
Sometimes it's good to go though, and then realize you're like dip in like I did, and then realize you're not missing out, and then you're like, all right, well, next time I'll just leave it then because this reminds me. So I think dipping in can sometimes help reframe you. But yeah, as you said, we're gonna call it one. I am dying to use the toilet. Number two, I have 3% battery, and this is gonna die any fucking second. So, like, share in your story. Let us know what you think. Please give us some
key
love.
Questions.
Let us know that you're finding a good few questions, topics, and we will see you all
next week. Is our fourth birthday.
Woo! Big four.
So we'll see you then, guys. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.